Right now, it's time for a medley of uninterrupted Haitian voodoo chants.
According to every rule and regulation, we got a closet fit to break the station. 16 in Houston, T-I-L-T.
Hi, radio buffs. Phil Wayne back again for Market Scope as we take an audiological look at radio across the U.S. of A. As you well remember, we've been dialing around the FM band in Kansas City with our friend, Skip Dabblestein. Skip, what's up next?
Our next stop on the Kansas City FM dial is 101.1, where we find KCFX, the Fox. The station is actually licensed to Harrisonville, Missouri, but has studios in the western suburb of Overland Park. Until recently, it operated at 100.7 megahertz, but when it became the flagship station for the Kansas City Chiefs football network, a frequency swap was made with the station in Moberly, Missouri, to give the Fox more uniform coverage throughout the Kansas City area. The addition of the Chiefs games broadcast enabled KCFX to crack the top 10 in ratings with a ninth place finish in the current book.
A21 and 101 KCFX, the Fox, Kansas City's home of classic rock and roll. Don't forget the Fox CD song of the day when you hear it. We gave it to you, by the way, at 7:20, as we do every morning. When you hear it, it'll be played before midnight tonight. Be the 11th caller at 576-77FX. You win a Panasonic ultra-light portable XPS compact disc player. It's really neat, the CD player day all week from the Fox, including tomorrow when we're live from the Woodlands. The Horsey's going to be running tomorrow afternoon.
Variety of classic rock and roll. 101 KCFX, The Fox.
The number three station in the Kansas City radio market is KYYS on 102.1. KY102, as it is known by most listeners, uses an album-oriented rock format and is affiliated with WDAF-AM, giving their owners two of the top three stations in the market.
Good morning, it is 7 o'clock, KYYS, Kansas City, KY102. Max and Tana show on the air, it is Thursday the 19th. Max on vacation, Larry Moffat here, Tana over there, and it's that time again, ladies and gentlemen.
We're going to play Wheel of Misfortune. If you want to spin for that wheel and all the fabulous prizes, call us right now at 576-7102.
Got birthday bucks coming up at 7:10, chance for you to win $500 cash. That's in 10 minutes. Do you have a birthday? When is your birthday?
October 2nd. You know, they called it the other day on birthday bucks. Skid did. I wanted to pull over and call in.
Employees of Great American Broadcasting not eligible to win.
No, I didn't.
But we get those free jets and movie passes.
Ooh, baby.
Okay, so we'll do that. 7:10. Birthday bucks. Make sure you stick around for that. Forecast for today is going to be sunny and hot again. High 90. Partly cloudy tonight. 30% chance of rain. Low tonight should be about 72. Talking about rain for this weekend. Maybe Saturday and Sunday, right? It figures. 75 now, and you too on KY 102.
At 103.3 megahertz, we find KPRS-FM. This station is affiliated with, but has programming separate from, KPRT-AM. Its urban contemporary format enabled KPRS to maintain a fourth-place ranking in the last few Arbitron books.
At all six Discount Furniture Showcase stores, I'm Don Brilli, Hot 103.
Hot 103 Jams Time Check, 8:53. Don't forget, coming up at 9 o'clock will be the opinion poll. We want to hear from you, 471-4081, or you can fax it to us at 471-2609 at 8:53. Back in a moment on Hot 103.
6800!
KPRS, Kansas City, home of the Mega Prize,
the Hot Toe,
and Don Powers and the Power Company. 100,000 watts of pure jam and juice.
But more winning.
More money.
More often.
Hot 103 Jams.
Occupying the 104.3 spot on the FM dial is KBEQ, better known as Q104. It is Kansas City's principal top 40 CHR station, and for several years was the major competition for WDAF in the ratings battle. However, with the departure of Morning Drive personality Randy Miller to a sister station in San Diego last fall, the station tumbled to 8th place in the latest ratings book. It remains to be seen whether the return of Randy Miller to KBEQ earlier this summer will bring the listeners back.
I'm coming hardcore. Let's wrap this thing up from the plaza.
This is KBEQ, Kansas City, the radio station you listen to the most. Just past 8, the Nasty Man pumped up for Monday night.
Q104, the big, thick, nasty man knocking out more tunes than anybody in town.
30 minutes nonstop of the latest from Keith Sweat. Hey, make you sweat.
And I think I need myself a Hulkamania fix to get my hit right for Wednesday night. Take it, big man, now!
It sounds like my main man, Chuck Nasty's ready, and I just hope those good-looking, long-legged Hulkamaniac women are ready, because we're out here with my main man, Nasty, brother, headbutting our heads against the cement walls, getting right. And let me tell you something. I'm going to let you flex those big pythons of yours, knock them from left and right, because the Hulkster is going to be in the middle of the ring, man. My man, Nasty's going to be right there to pick up the pieces.
Clear the phone lines. I'll take the first correct caller at 576-7104 to run down the big 9-9 and win your new kids' tickets tonight. You're going to qualify to go backstage with the Nasty Man. I'm talking about the sold-out show a week from tomorrow night at the Kemper Arena.
Hey, this is Jenny Lane.
This is Stephen Sweet.
We are Warren.
Yeah, I guess you might have known that.
And we're hanging with the Nasty Man on Q104. And we got
the big 9 at 9.
The biggest countdown in the city. So
sometimes she cries and warrants.
Another top 40 station on the Kansas City FM dial is KXXR, operating at 106.5. Owned by Scout Broadcasting, X106 is licensed to the northern suburb of Liberty. Since arriving on the scene a few years ago, it has consistently failed to crack the top 10 in the ratings battle.
X106,
your music marathon station,
kicks off Kansas City's best.
Kansas City's
number one for music, money, and fun.
All hit.
X106.
All hit.
X106. KXXR. Kansas City's
best
music variety.
Final stop on our trip up the Kansas City FM dial is 107.3, where we find KCFM. This station is licensed to Lexington, Missouri, and was originally the FM sister of KLEX-AM. Now broadcasting from studios in Independence, the station uses a country-western format and identifies itself as the Country Giant. Considering the fact that Kansas City's two other country music stations are ranked 1 and 2 in the ratings book, while KCFM shows up in about 20th place, the use of that slogan is debatable.
Good morning,
Clark!
Giant 107. Rodney Crowell, if looks could kill. Yeah, it's 11 minutes after, Mark Edwards. Thursday in the country, a special Thursday, because the day's the day. We've got the Ricky Van Shelton Sony home video call to be continued.
Giant 107 is KCFM, Lexington, Kansas City.
With that, we've come to the end of our visit to Kansas City, the nation's 26th radio market. I hope you all enjoyed it, or at least found it interesting. 73s for now, and good DXing. Back to you, Phil.
On the air everywhere,
certified number one for the most music and the most fun. 93
Q, Toledo. Yeah, Cunningham. Keeping my hands to myself. 93 Q. You're right, y'all. It's the ultimate good time. And it could be yours, that brand new Jeep Wrangler. $5,000 line store shopping spree. And yeah, the Bahamas Cruise. We'll ask another winning phone number in only minutes. Just past 8 o'clock with the voice of the Beehive on 93 Q.
That was Toledo's 93 Q. But on the morning of November 4th, Toledo listeners were greeted with...
Louie 93.5, thanking you for making us your favorite place to hear Louie Louie. Louie 93.5, where the Louie Louie keeps on coming. Louie 93.5, ushering in a new kind of radio station. This is the station that plays nothing but Louie Louie 24 hours a day. In the coming days, notice how other Toledo radio stations will begin to copy our unique format. Accept no substitutes or cheap imitations. This is the original, the world's first all Louie Louie station, Louie 93.5.
Remember back when you were a kid, those sights and sounds of the holiday season?
Come on, everyone, come.
Within days, the new format was in place.
Oldies 93.5 sending you to the movies. 93.5 exclusive premiere screening of For the Boris starring Bette Midler. Color 10, you are going to 1193. Good luck from Oldies 93.5.
And the hits just keep on coming.
At Oldies 93.5, I like doing that every night.
Good. Hey,
well.
858 and the Mystics. Hush-a-bye.
Mystics at Oldies 93.5. That's a great song. And I think 1958, 59 for that one. Please don't quiz me on
it was
that.
59.
Though. 59. Mm-hmm. Oh, doggone it. I missed it again.
Yeah, you did.
It's 9 o'clock. Chris, Ted DeVere, Diane is here. And Diane's got a look at the last look at the news, too.
Weatherman is calling for some sunshine today in Toledo. It's 15 degrees.
As we say goodbye to Kansas City and give a big Market Scope thanks and pat on the back to Skip Dabblestein, I just wanted to ask all of you for a bit of help on our April Market Scope. We're looking for some great old pre-1968 air checks to share with you on our annual Fool's Edition. If you have a great classic air check to share, why not send me a dub? My address is 3718 North Beverly Hills Drive, Toledo, Ohio 43614-2209. Please send them to arrive by March 10th. Thanking you in advance, this is Phil Wayne for the DX Audio Service.
W-Q-X-I.
And now, doing his best to fit in with the surfboard and frisbee crowd, here's the DX Audio Service's favorite beach bum.
Historical moments in radio, recalling a few of the events that helped make radio broadcasting the exciting and educational business and hobby that it is today. Hello again, I'm John Bowker, and today we're going to take another look through the pages of the book entitled The DJs, and I'll tell you a few more things about stations celebrating a birthday during the months of March, but, you know, I hope you had a chance to catch either the radio program or the TV show during February that dramatized the book The Empire of the Air. It tells the story of the lives of Lee DeForest, Edwin Howard Armstrong, and David Sarnoff, and how they were intertwined. True, there were parts of the story that had to be omitted, but by and large, many of the details were quite accurately portrayed, based on even my first-hand knowledge. In 1962, I was one of the three hosts for groups visiting the David Sarnoff Library and Museum at the RCA headquarters in Princeton, New Jersey, and as such, I had a few moments to talk with Mr. Sarnoff and get clear on some of the things that now have been covered rather well in the book The Empire of the Air. Mr. Sarnoff's motives and some of his actions were not fully explained by the program, I felt, but it was a terrific show, and I hope you enjoyed it. Well, let's look at a few more passages from the book The DJs, written by Arnold Passman in 1971 and published by the Macmillan Company of New York. Continuing from last month, Mr. Passman writes, "Once the First World War ended in 1918, the Westinghouse engineer Frank Conrad continued his broadcast experiments by building a station atop the Westinghouse plant in East Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It was more powerful than anything he had built before, and his audience picked up. As music shops reported increased demand for the records he played, an enlightened department store ran a newspaper advertisement on September 29, 1920, for a complete list of radio parts.
Pittsburghers responded in droves, and the ad success attracted the attention of electrical giant Westinghouse. The result was the licensing of station KDKA in time to provide coverage for the 1920 presidential election. Conrad grew with the station to become president of the Westinghouse Broadcasting Company. The book then goes on to describe the various claims of stations such as WHN that points out in 1927, when not broadcasting Columbia University football games over their facilities, Ted Husing was a disc jockey for their station. In fact, Ted Husing stayed with WHN right up until 1955 when the station changed management and the call letters to WMGM, if you recall. He did work for WJZ in between a little bit. But now the Jesuits can also make a claim to the first disc jockey. They were playing records over their station, WEW, owned by the St. Louis University, starting in 1921. And Lee DeForest, not to be outdone. In 1957, when he was aware that there was such an issue being discussed, he provided documentation that he had played records on the air, both in the United States and in Europe, in 1907. So, is he the first disc jockey? Well, not quite. The previous Christmas Eve, Reginald Fessenden, a well-known electrical engineer who had worked with Thomas Edison, astonished operators on the Atlantic Ocean with a transmission from Brent Rock, Massachusetts. That's Christmas Eve, 1906. Fessenden's program was mostly his singing and violin solos and readings from Luke, but it also had included a phonograph record of a woman singing Handel's Largo. Well, that's the ending of chapter one of this multi-chaptered book called The DJs, written by Arnold Passman in 1971. Say, if you'd like to hear more readings from this book or any of the other books we feature from time to time on this program segment of the audio service, be sure to call Fred Vobey. Call him on the action line if you'd like, so some sense of the amount of interest can be totaled. You know, with the first signs of spring, activity in putting new radio stations on the air certainly has flourished over the years. For instance, March has seen the commercial beginnings of such stations as the Voice of the South in the middle of March of 1922, and that's WSB. And the trucker station WWL came along just 15 days later in 1922 at the end of March. There was All News, KTRH. They signed on in March of 1930, and KRNT started preparations for our upcoming 1992 convention by coming on the Des Moines airwaves in 1935. But the happy sound that started in 1941 with a guarantee that it would reach more listeners per advertising dollar was Baltimore's brand new independent station, WITH. 1230 on the dial with enough power to reach the city's outskirts, provided Baltimore didn't grow anymore. For Historical Moments in Radio, I'm John Bowker.
DCBM, a member of KBP.
Hi, this is Wayne Heinen with the CPC report for the month of March. First off, March 1st, KBBS 1450 Buffalo, Wyoming will conduct a DX test from 0200 to 0400 on Sunday morning, March 1st. The test will contain music, voice, and Morse code IDs. Our thanks to Mr. Glenn Swiderski, and I'll spell that S-W-I-D-E-R-S-K-I. Please direct your reports directly to Glenn at his P.O. Box. That's Box 153, Buffalo, Wyoming, 82834. This test was arranged by the National Radio Club Courtesy Program Committee. Then we go on to KXOL, 1320, 1370 Neptune Drive, Clinton, Oklahoma, 73601. This test is a reschedule from 0130 to 0200 Eastern Time on Monday morning, March 2nd. This rescheduled test will include tones, Morse IDs. Our thanks to Dennis Burton for the test, arranged by J.D. Stevens for the IRCA. Next, KALT 900, drawer 1166, Atlanta, Texas, 75551. We'll conduct a DX test on Saturday morning, March 7th, from 0600 to 0630 Eastern Time. Test will contain Morse code IDs, and our thanks to Mr. David Womack, Jr., General Manager for the test. Test arranged by the National Radio Club Courtesy Program Committee. Next, KPCR 1530, P.O. Box 1, Bowling Green, Missouri. Zip code is 63334. We'll conduct a test on March 8th, 1992, from 01 to 0600 Eastern Time. The test will consist of comedy bits and songs, voice and code IDs. Listener phone calls will be taken. No collect calls. and a number given on the air. Our thanks to Mr. J. Paul Salois. I spell that S-A-L-O-I-S. He's the president, general manager, and chief engineer. This test was arranged by the Courtesy Program Committee of the National Radio Club. Finally, WZAO 1370, P.O. Box 134, Glendale, West Virginia, 26038, will conduct a DX test from 0530 to 0600 Eastern on Sunday morning, March 8th, 1992. This test will consist of test tones, voice, and Morse code IDs. Our thanks to Mr. Michael E. Dunn, General Manager, for the test. This test was arranged by the Courtesy Program Committee of the National Radio Club. For the Courtesy Program Committee of the National Radio Club, this has been Wayne Heinen for the DX Audio Service.
A new item for many of you DXers that is very handy is the Bruce Elving FM Atlas. It's the 14th edition. It's only $12 through the National Radio Club Publication Center. Contact the National Radio Publication Center at Post Office Box 164, Mansfield, New York, 13661. And now, the musings from the members.
Hi, this is Jason Meadow, calling from Saginaw, Michigan on January 22nd, 1992. We were actually sick. Notice many people have been calling in about TV stations simulcasting their news on the radio. I got a bunch of them here. Here in the Saginaw area. WNEM TV5 here. Here's in Saginaw. Simulcast their news on 1160 WACY up here. 1520 WMLM in Ella. 1360 WKYO Carroll. 96.9 WSTD in Standish. WJRT TV12 Flint. 103.9 WOMZX 1080 WOAP. WSAM 1400. They switch to your big band moody music, formerly like oldies. Call themselves the New Sam 1400 AM. 1250 WXOX in Bay City. Is went silent December 22nd. Oh yeah, I also on 1400, the Michigan Great Lakers, the Global Basketball Association team, that's on 1400, the new Sam. 97.3 WIXC, Wixie Country, is a new station. Here in Saginaw, came on about the first of the year. December 31st.
Hi, this is Tim at the Tallahassee chapter of the Better Radio Bureau, and just wanted to let you know about a few changes that are going on around here. First of all, the radio station for which I toil, 1450 AM WTAL, the oldest station in the Tallahassee market, has filed for acquiring the 730 frequency that was formerly held by WLOR were their former call letters in Thomasville, Georgia. I think WSTT was what they went to for a while, and then they signed the AM off, and at any rate, it's kind of a mixed-up mess with that particular station, but at any rate, we have filed for application for that frequency, and in 60 days or so, we'll get the word from the FCC. We've also applied to move the frequency from Thomasville, Georgia to Tallahassee, Florida, and we want 50,000 watts. What we'll get out of it is anybody's guess. Also, WNLS, which was running the real country format here, it's WTNT's AM, WTNT, the big country station in town here, has gone over the last couple of weeks all talk. Kind of interesting. They joined with the American Radio Network, and the American Radio Network, of course, is no longer the American Radio Network. They've joined with the Independent Broadcasters Network, which is an outfit out of Tampa, which sounds actually worse than the Sun Radio Network sounds, believe it or not. Most of the people at ARR at the Independent Broadcasters they're all rejects from the old Sun Network days, Sonny Block, Jeff Brooks, some of those folks. So anyway, they're just rebroadcasting on 74.9 satellite Galaxy 2, what was on the 77.20 frequency, which is Sunny Block's network now. And also WMGR in Bainbridge, Georgia at 9:30 on the AM. One of the worst sounding radio stations I've ever heard. There are no highs on that radio station. It's all muddy and all bass. Has also switched over to an all talk format from their satellite oldies format. And they are now running the Chuck Harder for the People or People's Radio Network, which is on Galaxy 256.6. And they sound really bad, too. So it's all bad radio from Tallahassee, Florida.
Hi, this is Greg Jack in Olympia, Washington, and I just wanted to call and tell you that KLSY at 1540 has now, in Bellevue, Washington, has now become KBLV, as in Baker Larry Velvet and whatever, and is joined with the Country Gold Radio Network, or is in the process of joining with, so they will be soon linked with KJUN in Puyallup and KTOL in Lacey. So now there's three stations hooking them together. Right now the Bellevue frequency is just running automated country and western and station IDs, and that seems to be all that it's doing as of yesterday, which was Monday the 20th. It was the first day I think it started.
Hi, this is Tim again. Just doing a quick scan of the AM, and I noticed that 1380 WRBQ AM, Q105's AM down in Tampa, has gone to the Heart and Soul format, or what they used to call the Heart and Soul format. It is now being called the Touch. They call themselves the Touch.
Hey, this is Tom Jackson, a new member from Rochelle, Illinois. And I'd like to know, I used to live in Vancouver, Washington, back in the late 60s and early 70s. What happened to KISN at 910 on the dial? It was licensed to Vancouver, Washington, and when I heard your travelogue, I didn't hear that station mentioned. So what happened to it? And number two, why is AM radio going the way it's going? As far, I remember back when I was a kid, AM radio was a lot of, you heard a lot of different top 40 formats and more top 40 music on AM, but you don't hear that now. You hear it when I DX and listen to stations in Canada, like CHTS, Montreal's 990 Hits. I hear it sounds like an FM top 40 station, but it's AM, and you hear a lot more of that in Canada. So why is AM radio going the way it's going? Why is AM radio like it is in America with talk and country and oldies, and that's it?
This is Greg Jack in Olympia, Washington. First, I wanted to say that the station you identified as WIXI in Seattle is actually KIXI. I'm interested in knowing if anything is going to be done to it. It's at this point, you had mentioned that it was sold. At this point, it's running music of the 40s, 50s, and 60s, pretty much what it's been doing, sort of a music of your life format. Also, you asked about the best catch of 91. I don't know the exact frequency, but it was on shortwave. It was in Azerbaijani newscast on 17 megs somewhere. I only picked them up once. Most of the time I heard them, they were in Russian, but maybe this newscast is maybe like 15 minutes or so at the max, and they were talking about all the shooting and stuff that was going on in different various villages, and it was pretty weird. And what was also kind of outstanding about it was the person doing the newscast sounded really intensely angry. You don't hear too many really angry sounding newscasts, but that was definitely up there on the anger rating scale. Anyway, that's it here from Olympia. Thanks a lot, and I'm glad you got another answering machine.
Oh, a nice new answering machine. Jim Snowbarger here. I just wanted to call and muse for a moment. I'm beginning to generate a little bit of dissatisfaction with the magazine. and wanted to comment about that. I'd like to see a little more, a little more meat in the material, technical information, especially. We've got AMAX on the scene now, and it would be nice to have a feature on what AMAX is and how it actually works and who's promoting it and how are they going to actually bring that onto the market, what prices are expected, a lot of information like that. When the anti-skywave antenna was out, we didn't hear much about it in these pages as to how it worked and what it really was, only that it was there and some vague allusions to it. So, also, on this column here, occasionally people will ask questions, ask for more information, and nothing ever happens. We don't hear any more about it. Last month, several things were directed to you asking about one thing and another, and this month we didn't hear anything about it, not even an acknowledgement that it had been asked. Also, the comment was made in this column that it'd be nice to have some more details about the CPC test, the amount of power being used, and the directional pattern. But actually, what happened is we got less information this time than we get before in the previous tapes. Power and directional pattern are things that are really of interest, especially to those of us who don't have immediate, convenient, or access at all to the log.
Yes, we had a new format change here. This is Mark Marino from Long Beach. KBLA began broadcasting in Korean as of midnight tonight. This is February 1st. They are also simulcasting it with KAZN 1300 and 96.7 KWYZ FM. I don't know how long that will go on. Also, KDUO 97.5 in Riverside is now KHTX running a oldies format. And KMPC will be going all sports in April. XTRA 690 is going all sports. They're dropping Rush Limbaugh on whatever Monday on February 3rd. So other than that, it's pretty dead out here. Oh, I forgot. XCKAM, they have started their consumer business radio format. And they are 950. And they've pretty much got things all day. Chris Simon in the afternoon from KGIL from 2 to 6 for one. I think one of my best DX catches is right under them, 950, and I never did find out where it's from. It's a soft rock Mexican station, and I don't know where it's from. When XEK was off for a while, I was getting that. I never could pull out an ID.
Hi, this is Marcy Scott from Watertown, Massachusetts, February 1st, 1992, at about 8:35 in the morning. Want to report a format change at 11:10, the station which may still have the official call letters WHIM, but it now is no longer country, and it says this is all news radio CNN. I have a question. I noticed on the January issue of the DX Audio Service, you mentioned a station, somebody mentioned a station, WCLV, which was not the one in Cleveland. And I wondered if there is, if that's allowed for there to be two stations with the same call letters, or did I misunderstand? Because I understand that WCLV FM is the classical music station in Cleveland. And I wonder if there's also a rule that an FM station, one place, and an AM station in another place can have the same call letters if they're not going to interfere with each other. I wanted to congratulate Mark and thank Mark Davelstein on such a wonderful market scope, and thank you all for the whole DX Audio service. And happy winter. Bye.
Hi, this is Don Lee calling from Greenville, South Carolina. I was in Charleston, South Carolina just recently and discovered that AM 1450, whose call letters I think are WUJM, is off the air. Their FM has gone to easy listening from a jamming format. Also, AM 910, WKCN in the Charleston area, is off the air. Their FM at 104.5 is also off. I noticed while visiting Florida that WMJK in Kissimmee, Florida, on 1220 is doing an all-information format describing vacation tourism type things. Very, very interesting to listen to.
Hi there, Mike Dukin from Ladysmith, Wisconsin, with a couple of things. First off, a couple of months ago, and I believe it was in the December audio service, Fred, you mentioned that there was going to be a new After Dark tape out, whether it's on cassette or reel-to-reel, and I didn't hear nothing of it during this month or during the January audio service. I'm just wondering if it's been made yet, and can you order it, and how much it costs. Also, I've been really enjoying the Kansas City Market Scope. I think that Carl Dabelstein did it with full knowledge of the radio stations and who owns them, and in some cases the power, how much power they have, and how long they've been on. I think that that information is really good, and not to mention that the it's good to hear all the even the public stations on FM as well. Carl, I just want to say good work and way to go, and also welcome to the Upper Midwest. Speaking of which, make this tape on Tuesday, yesterday, February 3rd. For those of you that are keeping track of these things, we have another radio station relaying TV news in the local area here, WHSM in Hayward, Wisconsin, which was included on the 910 position on the travel log, is bringing the news from Channel 6 in Duluth. And the other station also bringing the same newscast is WDSM in Superior on 710.
Hello, Fred, and fellow DXers. Mitch Pomerantz calling from Los Angeles, and I'm glad you have a new answering machine. Mine was one of those messages that apparently got swallowed up, and whatever I was going to say is lost forever because I don't remember. Usually, Los Angeles is rather boring. Not a lot of things happen DX-wise, but I have five items to briefly mention. Over the weekend, two stations announced that they were going all sports. XETRA, out of San Diego, which really has been about 60% sports anyway, has gone all sports as of Monday, February 3rd, and today is Wednesday, February 5th, by the way. And one of the things that means is Rush Limbaugh is no more, and Larry King is going to be on tape delay from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. Otherwise, it's all sports. KMPC on 710 announced that as of April, they're going all sports. They did not announce their format. Also, Los Angeles may be the first city to have all Korea radio, KBLA, which is on 1580, that had been Business Los Angeles, as of sometime over the weekend, is now Radio Korea, and that's all I can understand. I assume they've kept the same call letters, but there's no way of knowing. Also, XEKAM, which is out of San Diego, but has studios in Hollywood on 950, owned by former L.A. and San Francisco talk show host and newscaster Jim Simon, has not been on the air the last two nights. I don't know if that's temporary or permanent. Also, there is a new Spanish station whose call letters I have not been able to pick up on 830, broadcasting out of the San Gabriel Valley, which is about 10 or 15 miles from me in the heart of Hollywood. And I'm not sure what their call letters are going to be. I didn't get a chance to listen all that carefully. So all of a sudden, some things are happening.
Hi, Fred, and members of the DX Audio Service. This is Don Wilkerson from St. Mary's, West Virginia. On February the 6th, reporting a format change, WEEP Radio has gone country. They are now simulcasting WDCY FM in Pittsburgh. And I assume they went Sunday. I'm not really sure. Also, I have a question for you. Can you tell me, isn't there a place in Lima, Ohio, which has AM and FM transmitters that you can buy? I heard one time on one of the satellite services a place advertised, an electronic place in Lima. If you could tell me what it is, I'd sure appreciate it. I enjoy the magazine. Thanks a lot.
Hello, Fred, and all fellow DX Audio Service subscribers. Paul Burkhart from Watertown, Massachusetts, reporting. As of this particular week, the Rush Limbaugh Show is now on 560 WQAM in Miami, Florida. Miami has been without Rush Limbaugh listeners for long periods of time, and now WQAM does have it.
Well, hello, audio service members. This is Marty Rimpaugh in Oakland. I found something interesting on 1580. KBLA Santa Monica is now calling itself Radio Korea and is now simulcasting with KWYZ-FM at 96.7 in Santa Ana, California. Something very interesting. I don't know if this is temporary or if this is something that's permanent, but right now KBLA in Los Angeles is now Radio Korea.
Hi, this is Doug Hunsinger in Silver Spring, Maryland, and I know this is a medium wave or AM magazine, but I just want to let everybody know that WAVA in Arlington, Virginia at 105.1 has been sold to Salem Communications and has dropped its top 40 format. Its last day of broadcasting top 40 was at midnight on the 12th of February. And on February 13th, the new WAVA came back on the air at 10 a.m. with contemporary Christian music.
Hi, Fred, members of the DX Audio Service. This is Don Wilkerson again, and today is the 14th of February, my anniversary, and just called to let you know that WOMP in Bel Air, Ohio, near Wheeling, is back on the air again. They came on, I believe, on Tuesday, and so they, of course, talked a lot about the fire and what happened, and of course, everybody's calling in and saying how much they missed them, so they are back on the air.
Well, audio service members, Marty Rimpaugh here in Oakland. 1490 KTOB is officially silent. As of Thursday night, February 13th, they went silent. An FCC inspector came in and did a quick inspection, and they are now off the air. We don't know how long that's going to last, but they are now silent. And also, there is a new radio station in Fresno, 1430 AM. KFIG is no more. It is now Oldies. It is called KWBO, or WBO for short.
Hi, Fred. This is Doug Emerson calling from Broadview Heights, Ohio. I feel the need to respond to something that was said on the February DX Audio Service, and that suggestion was that perhaps the musings from members column should be somewhat edited so that everything can be fitted on. Well, I realize that time is a big factor, but I couldn't disagree more with the fact that the musings from members should be edited. Everybody who calls is a musings from members, you know, the action line. It should be made sure that their comments are heard. And if there's no way you can fit everybody's comments on in one particular month, then those comments that weren't on for a previous month should be held over till the following month, and they should be given priority. Some people have suggested to me that the $25 that we spend for the DX Audio Service, that subscription price is a little steep. I can assure you of one thing. If you start to restrict what people say or edit what the comments people make, there's going to be a lot of people that will find the $25 a year a little bit too steep, and you'll see the membership drop like flies.
I couldn't agree with you more, Doug, and perhaps we should take a cue from Jim Snowbarger and respond to this. As you know, we have 45 minutes aside of a cassette, and on this edition of the DX Audio Service on the Action Line, there were 62.3 minutes worth of calls. Can you see what the problem is? We don't have enough space on the tape to present all the telephone calls. Now, in all fairness, 2.7 minutes of those telephone calls were people calling asking to have telephone calls returned to them or requesting information. That's not what the action line is for, and any call made in such a manner is ignored. I seldom check the machine until 2 days before publication. If you have a problem with the DX Audio Service subscription or have a question, contact me at the DX Audio Service or contact Ken Chatterton at the Pub Center. As far as a question about the call letters, yes, you can have a call sign on AM in one city and on FM in a different city. As far as After Dark, this edition will be released on the next edition. It will be a four-cassette volume. And the place you're thinking about in Lima, Ohio is Fair Radio Sales. That's it. We'll see you next month.